Welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast with your host, Funk Roberts.
We are live, we are live, we are live, and welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast. This is episode number 124, and I'm your host, Funk Roberts, former professional athlete turned online fitness expert and known around the world as a guy who helps men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond completely transform their body through naturally increasing testosterone, through mindset, nutrition, workouts, recovery, and everything around men's health. And welcome to today's episode, because I'm excited about this episode. This is a phenomenal episode because today we're going to talk about HGH, baby. We're going to talk about human growth hormones. And I'm excited because, you know, although hormone, you know, I am a hormone specialist. I talk about hormones, but I don't necessarily give enough love to HGH. And that may be because HGH has a different connotation to it, right? Like when you think HGH, you just think bodybuilding, you think drugs, you think steroids, but that's not the case because, you know, we've been striving for longevity since the beginning of time, right? We want to live as long as we can. And human growth hormones, HGH, which our bodies did naturally produce when we're younger, but tend to decrease, is one of the ways that we can age gracefully. We can prolong our, you know, in quotations, fountain of youth. But once again, you know, that thinking about the cost, thinking about injecting growth hormones is not something that is very feasible nor really attractive for anybody. But today on the podcast, I have Dustin Baker, and it's so amazing because Dustin Baker, this is his wheelhouse, right? He's the president of a company called Bioprotein Technology. In fact, for those who are listening, I am holding up my first box of 28 daily vials of his bioprotein concoction. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to listen, but I've already taken two. I love it so far. He's created this with years of experience, and he's been working with world-class athletes, professional athletes, trusted physicians, international private security people, military personnel, and fitness experts to help them maximize not only their physical attributes, but most importantly, their physiological, and cognitive potential, right? And he's been doing this type of thing since his 20s. So he's taken a lot of time and effort to create and produce this product. And he knows so much about HGH. He knows so much about IGF-1. And today we're going to dive right into it. And you're going to get an idea of how to age better, how to improve your metabolism, your libido, your immune system, your skin, and of course, build more muscle, burn more fat. But remember, knowledge is power, and I want to bring you guys knowledge. I want to be able to give you guys the knowledge that you need to make right decisions. And we're going to go into this. So I have my box here of vials. I'm really excited because I'm on day two as I shoot this. And as you guys, if you're watching the video, you can see, you can go to BioPro. I would advise you right now, before you even listen to this, to go to BioPro, bioproteintech.com and buy one right now. Just buy it. And then, listen, have I ever steered you wrong? Never have I steered you wrong. So go and buy it now. Get it now and thank me later. But with that, I digress. I'm excited. I want you guys to listen and learn more about human growth hormones, learn more about the reason why, you know, HGH treatments get a bad name and a safer way to help with our growth hormones, to help with a couple of hormones specifically that his BioPro Plus program helps with. So with that, I will leave you guys. Enjoy the podcast. Leave a 5-star if you enjoy this podcast, and I'll see you on the other side. Enjoy the podcast. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 124. And again, I'm your host, Funk Roberts. I'm really excited today because, you know, I'm massive in regards to hormones, right? Like, you know, hormone specialist, helping you guys naturally increase your testosterone levels. I talk about cortisol. I talk about estrogen. You know, I'm always dancing around a lot of those. But one hormone that I don't give enough love to, which I should, and I'm lucky today to have someone who will, is human growth hormone. And I think because that stigma of HGH is more for the muscle builders. That's what the thought is, but it actually isn't. And today I'm excited because today I have the president of Bioprotein Technology and creator of BioPro Plus, Dustin Baker, on the podcast. And we are going to break down HGH. Welcome, my brother. How are you?
I'm very well. That was a phenomenal intro. And 124 is my favorite number, so it's weird that you picked that.
Look at this, right? Right? This is how what we're doing here. This is what we're doing. So let's first of all, before we dive in, let me ask you where your origin story. How'd you get to where you are today?
The origin story. I find that I work every time somebody asks me that and how I can shorten it up, but yet make it impactful at the same time. But my business partner, well, people ask me that all the time, right? Like, how did you get into this, dude? And my business partner, he's like, dude, just tell people it chose you, because it did. I did not go to school for this. I did not. It wasn't some passion of mine as a young child. My parents were not involved. My family has nothing to do with medicine or science or human performance or anything. So it was, you know, that was probably one of the least paths that I would have ever have taken. But, as I just stated, it chose me. I fell in love with health and fitness as a life-changing event in my early 20s, as opposed to the lifestyle I was living, which was pretty awful, terrible, unhealthy, and, leading to, you know, death, destruction, and all the awful things. Someone gave me the gift of fitness and delayed gratification and something to work for and a purpose, I would say. And that was pretty much the inception and spark of where I am today. That one workout that gentleman took me through, and he's one of my best friends. He's one of my good friends to this day. It really set a chain reaction of improving my own personal health, my own personal purpose, my own personal worldview on how to approach health, fitness, physical performance, athletic performance, workout recovery, et cetera. And it led me through a plethora of different careers of owning my own fitness facility, my own methodology, working with individuals in professional athletics, collegiate athletics, the NFL, CFL, and through all of those different ventures, I was always utilizing these formulas that a small company in Florida was making. It was made by two brothers. I mean, they were just they were making this stuff in a facility that was probably no more than 10,000 square feet, little lab, clean rooms, pumping this stuff out, but really just a regional small company. And I would use these products through sports, fitness, just day-to-day use for people 35 and over. 44 was like our typical age, and they always seemed to work. And one thing leads to another, and we just believed in them so much that myself and my now business partner decided to acquire the company and then build it to reach every individual we think it can help across the United States and now internationally. Now we're on every continent other than Antarctica, and I think we've shipped to over 40 countries now. So I know that's kind of vague and all over the place, but it's like, how do you pack in 20 years of whatever in 3.5 minutes?
Yeah, that's impressive. So where are you from? Like, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Tampa, Florida. Okay. I was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan, if anybody knows where that is.
I used to play on the, was it EVPA? I used to play professional beach volleyball and indoor volleyball, but I used to play on the Michigan tour.
Oh.
So Grand Rapids, that whole tour.
Volleyball, I didn't know that. My whole claim to fame in my late 20s was I did a charity volleyball tournament every year for a previous career that was like I lived my whole life for that event. So that's funny that you did that too. Yeah. I never played volleyball before it, though. It was just a charity event for, you know, models and celebrities in Miami.
Miami?
I thought it was,
You know what? You and I have probably seen each other because I used to go down there and play with Derek Hebner was a guy that used to take me down to, what was it, Model Palooza or something like that? I think it was called, or Molly Palooza. Is that what it was?
I played in an event called Model Beach Volleyball. And it was, it was a big event down there. This is insane. I had no idea. I mean, that's crazy, but it is a small world, man. And like minds think alike and you end up in the same places. So I can't say that I'm surprised, but, I can at the same time. Weird. Very weird. But all right. I knew I was excited for this show for some reason. I would love to live in my glory days, you know, years ago, but, so I grew up in, and then I kind of got shipped back and forth. So I grew up in a, single parent household. I grew up with my mother, my grandmother, my mother raised me. I had two siblings, but my father lived in Grand Rapids. So I get shipped back and forth, you know, a very common story in the United States, right? You got two separate parents, you're shipping back and forth. But I actually did get what I would consider my career start back in Grand Rapids when I moved there to kind of escape the hustle and bustle of what Florida has to offer, for that time in my life. And that's where that whole paradigm shift really, that exactly where it started. That's where I started to learn human performance, athletic performance. I had a really awesome mentor who was a Olympic decathlete who took me under his wing and taught me everything from, man, literally building equipment to running a facility to human performance and all that kind of fun stuff. And that was that whole beginning of that snowball, which led me to each one of my different, whether it be entrepreneurial ventures and or business endeavors, and led me to this day.
So how old are you right now?
I'm 37.
Okay, you look great. You look great. Because I'm trying to piece everything together here. So you're 37 now. So the big moment for you was your buddy taking you in,
because 100%.
You're probably going this way. I have a similar story.
100%, yeah.
And that just changed the way you thought about health and fitness, which is incredible, because not a lot of people will make that change, right? A lot of other people will, okay, my buddy took me to the gym, but like, okay, that's great. But, you know, for you to have regain a passion to open up your own gym, your own facility, and all that stuff is mighty impressive. Like, it's insane.
Well, yeah, I've told that story ad nauseum and in much more depth. And the way I've told it before is, That kid at that time, and I'm talking about myself in the third person, that individual at that time didn't have a purpose. And frankly, I didn't have to say that it flipped my idea on health and fitness is almost not doing it justice, because I didn't have a foundation of health and fitness to begin with. So there was almost nothing to switch. The only relationship I had with health, fitness, wellness, whatever you want to call it, there's a million different words now these days, was the exact opposite. Right. The exact opposite of health and fitness. I mean, I'm talking, you know, I was in my early 20s, like I said, living in Florida, doing Florida stuff and drinking and smoking and, you know, drug use and dumb stuff that was leading you nowhere, leading me nowhere. And someone had I almost use the word audacity, but that has a negative connotation to it. But at least the wherewithal to kind of shake me and say, hey, why don't you just, and he did it in a very different way. It wasn't a negative way. It was, hey, why don't you just go come over here and try this? And what it did was it gave me a purpose. It gave me something to build towards. And I didn't have anybody in my life at that time. I didn't have strong male role models. I had zero, to be honest with you, up to that point. Yeah. I had zero role models probably at all. I was kind of on my own, left to my own devices and how I was going to navigate this world or careers or whatever it is for a guy that dropped out of college and, you know, had very little education and no help. So it was the right time, the right moment, which typically happens with these types of stories, if you want to call it that. And it just gave me something, man. It gave me purpose. It gave me something to work for that I didn't have.
Wow. Yeah, that's I was going to touch on the male role model just when, because you talked about your mom and your grandmother, who were the ones that were mostly rearing you as you were younger and then into your teen years in Florida. Yeah, Florida can be very, very difficult place to maneuver, depending on where you're at. So let's dive into HGH because, you know, let's just dive, because a lot of our listeners probably know what human growth hormones are, but they probably just think of that as being illegal human growth hormones, because that's generally how people think of it, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I know it, but most people think of it that way. So what are human growth hormones, and, you know, how do we have it naturally in our body?
Yeah, so that's very normal. Most people, when you think human growth hormone, you immediately think, 1998, 1997 bodybuilder, or guys in the back of the gym, you know, injecting, or guys dropping dead in the parking lot. Like, that's literally what the idea goes to first. Mm-hmm. And that's fine, because those things all did happen. Now, you have to understand, in those scenarios, those things did happen either because of abuse of a certain type of drug, or a combination of multiple different types of drugs, whether they're illegal. We can use the steroids, because that's a common term people use, whether, you know, illegal substances or controlled substances that are being combined together at extreme amounts that are causing bad things to happen. And there's always going to be a fall guy. And that typically happened to be growth hormone, right? At least in the general population. It's a very something easy to understand. It's the words make sense, and it sounds terrible, to be honest, at this point, right? Human growth hormone. But the fact of the matter is growth hormone is the master hormone in your body. So you have growth hormone, which is, it's not sex dominant like testosterone or estrogen. So everybody's very familiar with testosterone and estrogen, whether you're a male or female. You've heard those terms constantly, right? Dudes are always trying to fight this testosterone battle. Now it's throughout the media, it's pumped. I'm in Florida, there's a clinic on every corner, cash pay, get my monthly test shipped to my door. In women's health and hormones, you're going to hear progesterone and estrogen and different types of hormones. It's very similar. Tons of education, nothing scary about it, very normal. But somehow, over the course of, I would say, 20 to 30 years, you have completely lost the any education whatsoever with growth hormone, and all it has is negative connotation associated with it, for the aforementioned reasons we just discussed. The fact is that human growth hormone is your master hormone. It's responsible for metabolic functions. It's responsible for sexual function. It's responsible for muscle cell differentiation and multiplication, which is just the growth of muscle cells, muscle cell recovery, wound healing, soft tissue maintenance, ligaments, tendons, bone health, even mood, focus, cognitive function. It is absolutely the master hormone. And it peaks when you are growing up, right? You're going into puberty and adolescence and into your 20s. And as soon as you finish puberty, it starts its natural decline. Now, the natural decline is different for everybody depending upon their physiology. Most science would say 1% to 2% per year. In extreme rare cases, it can decline by 50% by 35. Again, rare cases, but it can happen. Now, that growth hormone decline looks like, the really easy one is inability to maintain muscle strength or muscle quality, right? Your strength starts to go down as you age. Even your skin begins to sag, and I can get into the how that works in the cellular level. Even erectile dysfunction is almost a number one indicator of low growth hormone. And even a real common one is body fat, specifically visceral body fat around the subcutaneous body fat around the midsection. Very common. Right. That's a normal thing. And people call it stress fat. But there's reasons behind this. So it takes its decline as soon as you finish puberty. Happens to everybody. Doesn't matter how good you eat, how hard you train, you know, how good your lifestyle is. It's going to happen. Right. It's literally the definition of aging.
Okay, so things like sarcopenia will speed it up. Things like your life. Well, so let me ask you a question. Will things like sarcopenia, natural loss of muscle, speed up the decrease? Does that speed up the decrease of HGH, or are they both happening, you know, at a normal rate? I know that sarcopenia starts to happen mid-30s, and then that happens. So is that?
I think you're looking at something of things that are kind of all related. Along with declines, or we'll use the term imbalances only because I want to make it not only just men, and I want to talk about both men and women, but we'll use the term hormonal imbalance, even though that can be a misleading term. But what I would say is it's kind of an all-encompassing effect of certain hormone decreasing as you age. You got to understand, hormones are simply chemical catalysts. Okay. They're a chemical. Your brain, certain parts of your brain spit out into your blood. They get converted into other things like cell signals, and cell signals tell your cells what to do. So when we talked about multiplication and differentiation, we're talking about when you trigger a cell to multiply, it's reproducing. Okay. But cells die off every single second. Now, the speed at which your body is is able to reproduce new cells to then take the place of dying cells is aging. So if your cells are dying faster or not reproducing faster than they reproduce, like, for instance, if you're not getting those cellular signals that trigger your skin to constantly reproduce collagen cells, your skin will start to slowly sag and wrinkle. That is the definition of aging. So when you're talking about those multiple different things, you're talking about a kind of an all-encompassing, it all kind of happens at once, right?
Yeah.
So we work my job, and literally what I do in my life for personal, and I'm sure we all do, is we look at things we can do to offset that decline. We're all going to die, and that sucks, but it is what it is. But we can at least live the best life we can. And you know, they talk about the term longevity, but we can at least do what we can to maybe delay the time a little bit, or look and feel better while we're here on Earth, right? I mean, why wouldn't I want to do that?
100%. I mean, the reason why I said sarcopenia is because you can fight sarcopenia by like starting to build muscle. You can slow that down. That's why I didn't know if HGH was kind of similar.
Well, muscle mass, man. And I just heard about a study, and I'm not going to be able to cite it for you because I don't remember the term and the name and exactly where I can send it. And people get upset when you don't do that, but it is what it is. There's a lot of studies, especially related to a new one came out with cancer, is the rates of cancer are lower in people who have a larger amount of lean muscle mass. Now that can translate to a lot of other things, because your muscles spur the creation of different, you know, the amount of muscle mass actually spurs the amount of creation of other hormones as well. So it's like this, it's this huge ecosystem of everything. It's like an internal combustion engine, like the engine in your car. Everything has to work. And everything has to be well oiled and maintained. If one valve, which lets fuel and air in or lets it out, okay, if one valve stem breaks or bends, your whole engine within the next few miles of that happening will shut down. It has nothing to do with the cylinder. The cylinder's fine. But if that valve stem bends and doesn't allow the right intake of fuel and air, the whole thing's going to shut down. So it's as a relationship, if all these things are maintained, yes, you're going to offset negative impact longer than somebody who doesn't, right? I mean, and the studies clearly would agree with that, especially with related to muscle mass, which was my whole point. I apologize for going on a tangent.
This is not a tangent, because you know, the education is so important, because the guys, you know, they don't know this stuff. Men don't know about testosterone, they don't know about HGH, they don't know, you know, what is causing all this stuff. And you know, one of the things I always talk about and say to the guys in my membership and the brotherhood and the guys who listen is, like, I want to live till I'm 100. In fact, I want to see my great-grandchildren. I want to be doing burpees when I'm 100. And the longer we can prolong, you know, the longer we can stay healthy, right? Obviously with medicine and technology, I mean, there's, and what you're doing actually can help that right there, you know, can help help keep us healthy as we get older, so that I'm not like my grandmother in a wheelchair at 99. Yeah. I'm actually running and sprinting, and my wife and I are hitting pads at 99. Right.
I hear you. Well, the fact that you can hit pads with your wife and not get into a fight about it is incredible. I tried that once, and it ended in an argument. But no, I completely agree with you. And the things are that, like, the cards, the deck is absolutely stacked against us this day and age for a lot of things that are outside of our control, whether it be environmental factors, ingredients in the food, etc. So I mean, clearly we're going to agree on a lot of this stuff. I couldn't agree any more with you about education and understanding. And what's insane is, one of the parts of my job is to travel to different parts of the country to different events and actually educate physicians on growth hormone, because they don't actually know anything about it anymore, which is insane. And the number one thing, here's a good Instagram hook for you, but the number one thing that physicians miss on blood panels is IGF-1, blood serum IGF-1 levels, which is the direct end result of human growth hormone. So human growth hormone, you can't even trace like you can testosterone, because it's a pulsating hormone. So you actually track insulin-like growth factor number one. And that's how you would actually look at what your growth hormone level is. Now, there's cheap, free, easy ways to spur growth hormone naturally. And we can talk about those things too. But IGF-1 is what you want to look for. And you'll actually find a lot of shocked faces on physicians when you tell them that, like, hey, they should be including this on their blood panel, which is shocking to me because I'm not a physician.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't fault the physicians though, because they got so much going on and, you know, they have to know so much.
Exactly. It's not fair to really like ball hard on people like that, because you have to understand the amount of education that they have to force feed themselves over the course of years just to get a job. I mean, it's still a job. Let's remember, like, these people have to get a job and they have to do all of these crazy things all in the interim while living their life, not getting paid. So you actually expect them to learn all of these things, then continue the education as it continues. It's, the people that come down super hard on people is not cool for clickbait at the same time, because who can know everything about everything, right? But that's the idea of specialists, and why, you know, you and myself have careers and are able to make a living doing, you know, specialty things and helping out.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. So you talked about after puberty, HGH starts to decline. This is where the aging starts now, right? Like we're losing our prime years as we keep going. So does everyone, you talked about IGF-1. Can you just go back for a second and explain that to everybody so that they know exactly what that is?
So let's talk about growth factors as a whole. So IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor number 1, is called a growth factor. Okay, so a few minutes prior to our discussion or where we're at right now, we talked about hormones being a chemical catalyst to a cellular signal, right? That's all growth factors are. So growth factors are these cellular signals. They are what are called protein cytokines. They're protein amino acid chains that are created by different parts of the body. If you want to talk about growth hormone and IGF-1, IGF-1 is created in the conversion of growth hormone in the liver into IGF-1. IGF-1 is a cellular signal that gets sent out into the blood to then trigger cells in different parts of the body to perform a task. We talked about collagen cell stimulation, multiplication, differentiation. We talked about muscle cell differentiation, multiplication. IGF-1 is the primary driver in that muscle cell differentiation and reproduction or multiplication. IGF-1 is a driver in a lot of different functions in the body, metabolic functions, muscle cell functions, bone functions, sexual function. I mean, and there's multiple different types of growth factors, all of them which are cell signals. So that's all IGF-1 is. It's all it is a light switch that says, hey, get to work.
Yeah, it's ignition. That's
a spark.
Igniting all the spark that's sparking all the great things that we want to be happening in our body, right?
Yeah, and IGF-1 is just the most popular. There's plenty others that are fun to talk about, like epidermal growth factor, fibroblast growth factor, which is your skin and soft tissue maintenance and wound healing and stuff like that. But IGF-1 is going to get all the press because that's how the one you're going to measure. And that's the most fun and has the most science behind it.
Okay, so if we're losing HGH, how can we increase it? Like what can we do as we're getting older? Like I'm 54 years old. What can I do to help?
Well, you're probably doing them already, just looking at you and kind of checking your stuff out. But here's what a normal person can do. Well, I mean, we're all normal people. Here's what somebody at home can do right now, and it's free. The first thing you're going to do is fix your sleep. So sleep. Also, this is a super lesser known fact, but the amount of quality sleep you get. So not just the time you're asleep, but quality sleep means restorative sleep. So there's very specific sleep cycles inside of your sleep when you think you're sleeping that occur. And those two main sleep cycles are where 70-90% of hormonal function is taking, or excuse me, hormonal secretion is taking place. So if you're messing up those sleep cycles, specifically slow wave sleep and REM sleep, two different cycles, or you're interrupting them or not getting enough time in them, you're immediately impacting negatively the amount of growth hormone and other hormone that you are secreting. So if you can improve your sleep, and I always recommend wearing a sleep tracker, or I'm a big Whoop guy. I like Whoop. I don't have anything to do with it. Yeah, I'm a Whoop guy. I don't have anything to do with them monetarily or business-wise. Wish I did, but I use them all the time. I love their metrics. They're super easily quantifiable, super easy to digest and absorb. So I highly recommend that. So if you can immediately increase your slow wave sleep and your REM sleep, you're going to immediately increase your natural hormone secretion. So that's number one, fast, super easy. But seemingly the hardest one to do, apparently. I would say people getting the right amount of sleep and better sleep, you're going to find is harder to probably get people to do than even eat well, which is a massive claim, and I'm willing to make that claim and stand by it. The second one, which we just mentioned, which is nutrition, right? In this day and age, there's all kinds of different endocrine disruptors that are added to food, whether those are food dyes or preservatives. Let's keep it real simple. I'm not a nutritionist, so I don't want to get super deep into that. But if you just maintain, and this is going to sound like, well, yeah, I knew that. Okay, well, then just do it, because most people don't. But if you just maintain to, you know, stick into the, people say this, but stick into the outside of the grocery aisle and stick into your meats, your fruits, your vegetables, and the appropriate carbohydrates in the right amounts and the, you know, at the right timing, that's a huge win. You're going to see your entire life change, right? Again, very difficult for people to difficult for people to do. My own personal tip, invest in some sort of tracking system and some sort of professional to tell you once
what to do,
get a good schedule together and just execute. Don't make it hard. You know, it's really good to measure food. And I know you tell everybody this, but sometimes it's good from a third party to say it as well. But it's really good to just commit to 60 to 90 days of actually measuring food appropriate for your body type and your energy output level. After 90 days, you should have a really good idea of what that looks like, what it feels like, what food actually look like in the correct portions, and you can just live your life. And but like any good investment, you got to put it time or money in the investment up front, or both. And you got to commit to it. That being said, the third one is exercise. Now, we all know that the science is going to tell you, we just talked about muscle mass, increasing actual lean, dense muscle mass is always going to benefit you in any type of health venture, okay? I don't know that there's any study that could prove the opposite, and if you do find one, I'd be happy to look at it. However, I don't believe anybody's ever sent me anything like that or even seen anything like that. But high-intensity interval training, so extreme bouts of energy at 70 to 80% of your output, if you want to push it, maybe 90 for a specific amount of time with equal or equivalent amount of rest following that movement for X amount of minutes, you know, 15, 25, 30 minutes at best, is scientifically proven to increase and actually spur growth hormone production. Because remember, growth hormone is a pulsating hormone. You can spur its creation. So you can actually do that through high intensity interval training, which I know you know tons about, and you can help people through that too. Again, time and investment, right? You got one of two things. You can invest the time to learn how to do those things, or you can learn, or you can invest your money to then have someone teach you how to do it, or a mixture of both. That's every business venture ever, and everything that's worth anything is a time or money investment. So those are the three things you can do. Free, easy, cheap, works fast. Or if you want to speed up the results, you can pay an expert to teach you how to do that and get you the results faster. That's typically how that works.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how to stay healthy right there. The three biggest things. It's like, and I don't, listen, I've changed my mindset because I've been helping men over 40 for the last 6 years, and we do coaching calls every single week. So, and they ask questions as well every week. So I'm answering video questions on video. So over the last 4 or 5 years, I've answered thousands of questions and through our coaching calls that we have. So I understand, like, it's not, people think that, well, you know, nutrition's easy. You just eat healthy, or you just don't put this in your mouth, or like you said, you just walk around the outside of the aisles. But man, these guys don't know that. They just don't know. They don't know, well, because there's so much information out there. There's so many diets and restrictive diets. And then this guy's doing this diet. And then this person he listens to is doing this diet. And it's a crazy diet. But you got to remember that this guy's crazy and he does extreme things. So even though he's the most popular guy in the world, and I love him, you don't follow what he does because he's going to go to the extreme. And then they got their wife telling them one thing because they, you know, they're high blood pressure. So you got to just go vegan. And you got to, like, so there's so much that it gets very, very confusing to the point where it's like, I don't know what to do. So I do understand And I don't blame these guys when they're like, man, I just don't know what to eat. And can I eat bread? And what kind of, should I eat Ezekiel? And should I do this? And my workout, should they be this long? And like, it's very difficult. This, the only thing that, you know, everyone knows about is sleep. But even then, you know, just the tracking, because, you know, sleep is the last thing people want
to
do.
Well, you say that, but I bet if you ask anybody what slow wave sleep is, they would have no idea. Or that cycles within, or that they matter, because you can be unconscious and not getting restorative sleep. You can drink a fifth of whiskey right now and knock yourself out, and you're not going to get any restorative sleep. You're probably going to get the worst sleep of your life. You might be unconscious, so you think you're asleep. That's why a lot of times when you go out drinking and you wake up the next day and you feel like trash, you're like, oh, I slept like 12 hours. You didn't actually sleep. You were rendered unconscious, which is the same issue with a lot of sleep drugs.
Exactly. Yes. So, yeah, I was, 100%. And I love that you said that. I love that you said that. So it's like, it is not as easy as people think. But when you do, when you're armed with the information, then it's about taking that action. And so all the things you said here, mentioned sleep, nutrition, the workouts, the exercise, it's, I mean, these guys have heard it. And people who are now listening are hearing it again, and some for the first time. So let's get back into HGH.
Yeah, so let's do it.
Let's, how do we, okay, so now I want to dive into like the manufactured, you know, let's get into the, I don't know if it's the deep stuff, but you know, like where can you get treatments? Cause now there's treatments that people can go and get.
Sure.
Right? Right? So, and how did that get such a bad name when it comes to treatments? When it comes to manufactured?
I'll answer one of those at a time, and please, if I go off, feel free to just interrupt me and reel me back in. But so growth hormone originally was created, and now we're talking about the synthetic stuff. We're not going to talk about, we're past talking about your natural growth hormone secretion.
Yeah.
So let's say HGH, we'll just use HGH as the term. So HGH was created in the late 60s, I think it was 68, to treat human growth hormone deficiency syndrome, which is a clinical issue experienced in children that lack growth hormone, or either entirely or at a very small amount. So they cannot grow, their bones are not growing, they're all kinds of different issues are going to spur from that, okay? So what they started doing was they started sucking this stuff out of cadavers, so dead bodies. And then they would then treat patients with it. Now, the drug works really great. HGH works great. It absolutely works, okay? It does come with a ton of potential side effects, but it does work. And no one's here saying it doesn't work, okay? So they started making it with recumbent DNA. So you make it in a petri dish, you use DNA, the DNA spits it out as a byproduct, you suck it out, and then you can, you know, it goes through the synthesis process, and you can inject it as a human being as a hormone replacement. So you have two uses for, at a very high level, 30,000 foot, probably 50,000 foot, very high level, which is growth hormone deficiency syndrome and a hormone replacement therapy, an HRT. So for aesthetic purposes, performance purposes, feel good purposes. And that was awesome for a long time. Okay. It was a normal drug. It was no big deal. It absolutely works for what it's being used for when used appropriately at the correct dosing schedules, et cetera. But like anything that works, typically people will take it and abuse it. That's just the way that it happens. So then you get into the 90s. It's very popular because why? Well, in the 90s and late 80s, you had really fitness became popular. It wasn't a big popular thing in the 70s, right? I didn't grow up in the 70s, but, you know, I've been around enough long enough and heard enough shows and TV. It wasn't a big thing in the 70s. It wasn't really a big thing in the 80s and probably the late 80s, I would say. So
late 80s.
Yeah. So then you go into the 90s. Well, if fitness is really popular, well, fitness people are going to want to things make them better at fitness. So you start getting your hands on drugs like growth hormone. Now, this happens in the medical industry all the time. And I'll use a very relevant today story after this, which is you find something that works really great, and then you have doctors that start prescribing it at what's called off-label, meaning you are using a drug to treat something it was not intended to be treated for or used for, other than its intended purpose. So if this drug growth hormone was created and intended for use for growth, human growth hormone deficiency syndrome, now it's what it was approved for. Now it's being used for performance enhancement, anti-aging, skin, all kinds of good stuff. Again, works for both. Okay. But you start to have issues where people abuse drugs, etc. And sometimes certain organizations don't like drugs being used either way. It doesn't really matter if it's good or bad, and they start to regulate the use of that drug. So in certain type, in certain spots, I'm in the United States. So in certain spots in the United States, in certain states, et cetera, the regulations began to increase into some, where we're at now. Sometimes you're just not even allowed to prescribe it off label, period. Okay. So it's become very expensive if you can get your hands on it, to the tune of $3,000 to $10,000. I mean, I think we've all seen the YouTube videos and the stories of your buddy. He's not actually your buddy. I just say that, but well, maybe I don't know, this podcast turned out to be a bang. So, what's his name? Liver King,
yeah,
right? Sure. We all saw how much we all saw how much his growth hormone treatments cost. The guy was spending $11,000 a month,
right,
which is not uncommon. Okay, in that space. So you're looking at $3,000 to $10,000 a month to get these drugs and these. I don't even think you're including physician appointments and blood work and all that stuff. Not, and it's not covered by insurance. Okay, so this is an aesthetic treatment. Aesthetic treatments are not covered by insurance. So this is cash pay. That alone is going to decrease the demand for a product, right? I don't know. You know, I would say the average American, I can't speak for Canada, but I read the news. I can venture to say the average American and Canadian, the average North American cannot afford $10,000 in an off-label cash pay, you know, enhancement use. So the drug slowly starts to disappear, right?
Right.
It doesn't in certain circles, but let's just say the grand scheme of things, it doesn't disappear. And the same thing is happening now with peptides. And if you're not familiar with peptides, were kind of created as a replacement for synthetic growth hormone therapies, because unlike growth hormone, that is a hormone replacement. So you're literally just injecting the hormone similar to testosterone, right? You're just replacing your natural production with a synthetic drug. Peptides came in and they began the process of what I call manipulation of glandular function. So they stimulate. Think of like your pituitary gland, which is the gland that creates human growth hormone, like a lemon, and you're squeezing all the juice out of it. Again, a drug that was created for about 3 weeks worth of use. Like you were prescribed it for post-injury healing, surgery healing. You're supposed to use it for like 3 weeks. Okay. Now there's a bunch of different peptides now, but you're supposed to use them for 3 weeks and stop. Yeah. Well, now they've been prescribed for 3 years on the same drug, off label, off intended use, and the FDA steps in and goes, okay, we're done with this because it's out of control. Right. So you're gonna have to reel me back in, but that's kind of the story. That's kind of the story of growth hormone, how it's created, and where it's at right to these days. Now, it's like this whole new thing, which is where our success has become, because the company has been around for 10 years. I bought it in 2018, the holding company that I'm an owner in, we acquired the company in 2018 for the purposes I said before. We loved it as a passion project. We wanted to take it to the rest of the world. And, you know, you call that a serendipity moment, because that's 3 years before all this stuff starts to get real popular again. So we had time to build. But now you have growth hormone on its way out. It's way too expensive. And you have the only other alternative, which are peptides, which are now banned by the FDA. And certain peptides, some people be like, well, not all of them. Yes, I understand.
Yeah,
certain peptides,
the ones
especially,
that we want, though.
Yeah, the ones that stimulate growth hormone production are banned. So, you know, anyway, that's kind of where we came in as the third option, and it's been phenomenal for us. You know, it's sad to hear that certain, you know, physicians are real upset about peptides being taken away, but I think that's the natural course of things at this time and juncture in the medical community, that a lot of these things have a really big heyday and then are taken away. So I don't know what to tell you, but that's, you know, that has part and parcel been part of our recent, I would say, in the last 24 month success of our products.
Okay. So let's talk about your products. Let's talk about what you do exactly.
So we actually already did, and I just didn't tell you, but we talked about growth factors, right? They're cell signals. Yes. And that's really all you're after. If you're injecting the hormone, remember, it still has to be converted into a growth factor to use it, the majority of it. If you're talking about peptides, well, you're talking about squeezing the gland to create more of that hormone. Still's got to be converted into growth factors. So why would you take a drug that's going to stimulate or manipulate glandular function? So you're manipulating parts of your brain. Nothing good's going to come out. Or why would you inject a synthetic drug that's going to replace your natural production And that causes all kinds of issues, like what's called negative feedback loop of shutdown of whatever's left of your natural production, but also could potentially cause cardiac issues or carpal tunnel syndrome or water retention, insulin issues, whatever. Why would you do all that if you could just take the growth factors? The growth factors are simply protein cytokines or just amino acid chains. They're just cell signals. So if you could just take the growth factors, why wouldn't you just do that? That's all that we do. We just formulate non-synthetic, so natural growth factors into a liquid formulation. You take it under your tongue, so you absorb it into the mucosal lining of your mouth. It goes into your bloodstream. You swallow whatever's left, and you just take cell signals. It doesn't cause any of the negative side effects. It doesn't cause any of the negative feedback loop. It doesn't cause any shutdown of any of your natural hormone. All you're doing is filling your gas tank back up. And because it's natural, you don't have the ability by design to ever put you into what's called an abnormal space, which is where those cardiac issues, insulin issues, all of those things occur. So we just said, okay, well, we just play on the right side of the liver. Instead of messing with your hormone functions or any of that noise, we'll just play on the right side the after the conversion. So we'll just give you the cell signals. That's all that we do.
And this is all legal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. No, because people are going to ask that question.
As soon as you hear
HGH, IGF, peptide, like everyone's just like, oh, is it, you know what I mean? So, because for me, I'm everything I do with these guys is all natural, yeah. Right? How to naturally increase the testosterone.
I hear you. I'm the same way. You know what I mean? So I don't take any needle. I don't take any test. Yeah. I mean, and I think everybody I know is on testosterone. I don't take anything. I'm 37 years old. My blood's phenomenal. Yeah. I've been taking my own sauce for years. And I don't know. I feel like I look okay, and I feel fine. I feel fine.
I just ordered it.
And we can talk about that too. But yeah, I mean... it's very simple, and the science supports what we're doing. And frankly, I hate saying this because I would love to be some big innovator and some, you know, industry disruptor and say like I created all this stuff, but I didn't. Right. This is decades of science of the way that the extraction is done from the materials that are used that have been done in Asia for years. In fact, right around the same time, they were doing the same stuff in the late 60s for Chinese and Russian Olympians. Right. That's the whole thing. What you're doing is you're extracting natural growth factors out of another mammal and you're taking them into a human being, which are molecularly identical. So it doesn't change any of your physiology and it doesn't manipulate or do anything to your physiology. You're just adding more sparks to the fire. I don't even know if that's a good term, but, you know, we talked about sparks and cell signals, but you're just adding more sparks where there weren't any before.
OK, so why would I want to what is this going to do for me? What is this going to do for the person listening right now? If I take this for a month or 2 months or 3 months, what are the benefits?
So we can talk overarching benefits. But most people, or excuse me, I should say this, is everyone, different things happen to different people depending upon their physiology. Because remember, growth factors are a small amount of growth factors are responsible for a multitude of different bodily functions. And we use 13 different growth factors are found in our raw materials. So they do different things. We talked about one, IGF-1, but we have 13 different other ones. So 12 other ones that we haven't really covered. But for the sake of the conversation, we have seen, let's say this, the overwhelming report we get back from people who use it in the first 10 to 14 days, and these are men over the age of 35 and women actually, is your energy. Like you feel like you've been shot out of a cannon. Like it's the same thing. It's like, man, I just feel really good today. I got a lot of energy. It's always day 10 to 14. Now, I know why certain things like that happen, but that's the first couple things. Oh, the other thing, the first thing I would say in the first 72 hours for people who are experiencing these types of issues, you might see a physical change in your nether region. So a lot of men, 1 in 3 actually fight with erectile dysfunction. Now, erectile dysfunction can be traced directly back to low serum IGF-1 levels. Most people don't know that. So remember, that's the end result of growth hormone. So when you are replacing that, not I shouldn't say replacing, but giving yourself back those growth factors, you're going to see some immediate response. So getting morning arousal is a very normal testimonial we get back from guys in the first couple of days. That's a great thing because it's a physical metric. It's a quantifiable physical metric that they can see. Now, that may not be the same for everybody because some people might not be deficient in those specific areas and it won't be as big. But for the guys that it is, it's life changing, right? Those are two of the first things that we see. We see blood panels change. Well, most people get them done every 90 days, so you can see that. And we've seen everything from free testosterone increases, DHEA, testosterone, IGF-1 tests if you're going to do a, you know, a blood spot or a stool IGF-1 sample. So those 90-day things. And then physical changes, it doesn't matter what you're eating or how you're doing or whatever, but physical changes are typically going to take about 4 to 6 weeks. And why I said doesn't matter what you're doing or what it is fat cells maintain fat. And before they actually shrink, they release the fat, burn it, and actually absorb water. And then they release the water, which is your fat cells actually shrinking. There's no drug on earth that is going to speed up that process past 4 to 6 weeks. So, right. You know, you got to actually commit to the 4 to 6 weeks. But we get a very common report of, you know, I haven't been eating well. I've been, you know, I have missed some of my workouts and I seem to be actually tightening up. Again,
right.
I have an understanding of kind of what's happening there from the biological level, but that seems to happen a lot too. We've seen blood work of thyroid improvements, which is your metabolic function. So TSH scores have improved. So if you're looking at metabolic function, that's how you would measure that. So it's been pretty cool. And there's a lot of other stuff that physicians use it for, but we like to say it's going to help fix how you perform, look, and feel, right? Your workout recovery in the gym, how you look, and how, more importantly, how you feel.
Okay, yeah, because I'm gonna give you some things that these guys are gonna ask me 100%, and you just say yes or no, okay?
Oh,
joint
man.
Pain, yeah, because they're gonna ask me, is this gonna help me with joint pain?
So I can say it can. Like, it can. I can't say yes or no legally. Yes. No one can do that, right? So no, I can say it can or it has the ability to. Yes. Okay.
Yes,
so
that's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking
would
for.
Would you like this is a fun game, but would you like would you like the reasoning behind it?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
These guys want to know.
Okay,
they
cool.
Know.
So first one, let's
joint
start
pain.
Over. Start over. Okay.
Joint pain.
And go. Okay. Joint pain. It has the ability to, yes. The research behind growth factors is overwhelmingly in favor of soft tissue maintenance, soft tissue healing, especially within it goes to like arthritic conditions and osteoporosis type conditions. So bones, soft tissue, ligaments, all that kind of fun stuff. Yes.
That's huge. Okay. Next up, fat loss.
So we just talked about it. It has the ability to. Yeah. We've seen in blood work the improving of TSH levels, which is your metabolic function. So we've shown that in blood work as well as anecdotally. I mean, if you'd like to go online and see some of our before and afters, they're pretty insane within the first 60 days. Yeah.
I've seen it already. Lean muscle growth.
Absolutely. It has the ability to. Yes. Because growth factors like IGF-1. Listen, man. I have more lawyers than I do doctors. I mean, come on, dude. It has the ability to, yes, because growth factors like IGF-1 are literally the trigger for muscle cell differentiation and multiplication, where testosterone has the ability to grow cells, the actual single cell growth. It doesn't actually spur differentiation and multiplication, where IGF-1 is used for that. So if you're only taking TRT and you haven't addressed growth hormone, you are only thinking about half the puzzle. Next one, let's rock.
Okay, yeah, and listen,
everyone, I'm a PR machine, guys, man. No. This is all I do for a living. Awesome.
No, this is good, and I'm doing this because you guys all know that if you know, obviously, you have to, if you're using the Brotherhood program or any other program, these are the questions I'm asking. I'm not asking if you're going to just take it and sit there and do nothing. So you have to lift, you have to, you know, eat healthy, you have to sleep, all of those things.
I always recovery. Say this: there is no drug on earth that has the ability to outwork a pizza donut diet. There just isn't. And I'm not saying don't eat pizza donuts in the, you know, when the time calls for it and you're putting in the work previous, but you get what I'm saying.
100%. Recovery. I know we talked about it, but recovery.
Yes. So has the ability to support you. Yes. That's overwhelmingly reported as guys coming back from their workouts faster.
Okay. Skin.
So again, has the ability to support skin and hair. So hair follicles and hair growth, again, spurred by things like IGF-1. The other two growth factors we talked about earlier, which is fibroblast growth factor and epidermal growth factor, are both for elastin in the skin. The fibroblasts in the skin and the multiplication and differentiation of things like collagen cells, which are needed to then keep plump, you know, keep your skin looking fresh. Right. So yes, it has the science would support that it does.
And of course, we talked about the Johnson, the morning wood, which is huge, and the energy, which is even bigger. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this. Why would you? So here's the question. Let's start. You know, for this demographic, let me just ask: can women take this?
Absolutely. Well? Yeah, they surely can.
Okay. So you heard it here first or second.
Very good for women. No, very good for women. We get a lot of reports from our female docs and providers for menopausal women, premenopausal women, because their hormones are all over the place. They're suffering from fatigue, cognition issues. Brain fog is a big thing. And man, we got a testimonial in from a nurse practitioner out of California. California's a big market for us, but she literally said she can't imagine a day waking up and not taking her BioPro. So, I mean, those types of comments are big for us because,
for sure.
They're our bread and butter, and it means a lot. So,
and think about this: this is a nurse practitioner who already has a very stressful job.
They have access to all the drugs we already talked about at a discount. And the fact that they're going to choose our product to use is a big tip of the hat to us as well.
100%. Man, this is huge. Like, why would you? So the question is, why would you not take this?
There is a monetary cost involved, right? It's not free,
of course.
So that could be a whole thing. A lot of people, maybe people are just scared of change, Funk. A lot of people like to talk about it, but don't like to pull the trigger, right? And until you cut somebody's leg off, right? They're not interested in medical intervention. So that's fine. We're not for everybody. We're for individuals who are committed to really taking the charge and making a difference in their life. If you're not and you just want to talk about it, that's fine too. I don't care. But we might not be right for you.
So, man, this is amazing. I'm excited. Like, I'm getting goosebumps right now because... I am, because I ordered some. So
I appreciate that.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I know I'm going to have to wrestle my wife for some of it. So we're going to have to order some more for her. But guys, like I definitely believe I did some research. I loved having you on this podcast to explain everything and really dive into the science and research behind it and the safety of it and the efficacy of what HGH is, why we need it. And for us, as we're getting older, knowing that we need to be the pillar for our families, specifically, I always say this, we're going to become the patriarch of our families, whether we want to or not, right? So if you are someone who's sitting on the couch or, procrastinating all the time about getting healthy or starting and stopping, man, when shit hits the fan, and you're 50 years old and shit hits the fan in your family and someone dies and everyone's looking to you to do something and you have no energy or you have no drive or you don't even know what to do because your brain's fogged and you're going to be a letdown to everybody in your family. And we are literally, this is what we're going to be. So everything that we can do right now as men, specifically because of Movember, I don't even want to say to get a leg up or, Like, we eat food for nutrition and to fuel our bodies. We work out to, for muscle. And like, we do all these things. We take we take BioPro plus HGH.
We get our
growth hormones back. Like, that's, you're just putting the healthy things in your body and you're getting rid of all the shit. Like, that's really what it is, right? You get the stuff that's not working right now. We know that as we get older, we have a lot of physiological things that we have to deal with that happen naturally and in our lifestyle. So we just have to do what we can to stay healthy. And I love that you have this. So where can people get this?
You can just you can get it at a physician that carries our products.
Really?
Yeah. So we have doctors that carry these products all over the world at this point. I mean, I think we even have a doctor in South Africa. But so you can get it at any of the clinics that offer our products, literally. Or you can get it on our website, but those are the only two places. So we don't do any third parties. Well, we're not really even allowed to, but you can't just sell the stuff on every website and everything, but we do it on our website. We built the foundation for that. And then clinics all over the country. If you want to go pick it up today and you don't want to wait on 2-day shipping, I guess you can hit us up on Instagram at Bioprotein Tech, BioProtein Tech. Send us your location. We'll connect you to our clinical director or something, and they'll see if there's a clinic in your area. You can just drive up and go grab it. But so you got two choices. You can grab it from a clinic or you can grab it from us.
That's amazing. Just before you go, though, I want to just touch on that fact that they're in clinics. That's extremely impressive that doctors and clinics will take this. Like, that's the power of what you're doing. Right.
So,
like,
they'll actually, that's actually the history of the business is it was only and always provided by authorized practitioners and providers. And it wasn't until the COVID fiasco where clinics were not taking patients, or you had to like sit in your car and like all this weird stuff. And like any business, you have to figure out how to sink or swim and survive. And at that point, we had just acquired the company. I was like, okay, well, we just invested this thing. We're not gonna shut the doors. So we had to build the functionality and the foundation to offer it ourselves online for patients who either are not in the appropriate area or don't have a clinic. You know, if you're in North Dakota, I don't think we have any clinics in North Dakota. So
right.
It would be tough for you. And if you're a physician in North Dakota and you want to be our first, hey, you know, reach out. We'd love to have you. So, so we had to figure out how to do that. So we did. And now we do both. And actually doing that and providing a direct to patient route, direct to consumer route, was actually very instrumental in growing our physician footprint as well. I mean, at this point, man, I think I said North Dakota and as a joke, but I mean, we're probably in every 50. We're probably in most all the states. I don't know about anybody in Alaska or North Dakota, but and like I said, in countries all over the world. So it's been like really cool and lightning fast the last few years. But we got a long ways to go, and we got a lot of fun stuff on the horizon as well.
Man, I'm so happy I met you. I'm so happy that you're doing what you're doing. I cannot wait to get this and report back to everybody. Yeah, man, thank you so much for being on this podcast.
Hey, I have a question for you, Funk.
Please, please.
So I read in your bio, you're a Muay Thai guy.
Muay Thai, yes. We fought in Thailand, my wife
and
I.
Oh, your wife. Oh, man.
Yeah, what, yeah, my wife's the kill.
What? yeah. What would you say was your least developed Muay Thai skill? So I train a few times a week myself, and I'm just curious. Right. You know, what was your Achilles heel?
It would be the clinch, 100%.
Really? Why is that?
Because the art of clinching takes so much time, and you get humbled so much, which I don't mind getting humbled. I mean, that's part of training.
That's literally the whole thing to me, at least.
Yeah. yeah. But the clinch, because the clinch is so technical.
Okay.
And because when you're training, there's just so, like these guys in Thailand who train since they're 6 years old. I mean, their clinch game is insane. So knowing that, you know, and I had to fight a Thai. So, you know, the only thing I did as soon as he clinched up, I just grabbed below and just held on because I wasn't going to get into a clinch game. Plus, clinching is very physically, the endurance and the
it's very the physical. Worst. It is the I can I mean so I can dance around the ring all day long, and the second we get into a wrap up or a clinch or a fight on the wall, it's I'm smoked, dude. It's the worst. Yeah. So that makes total sense.
Yeah, and I didn't fight for very long, so I wasn't able to develop that. But my wife's clinch game is on point, and my son just came back from Thailand, so he went down to train. It was actually a defining moment in his life because he was at a point where he was kind of lost.
Yeah,
sent him out to Hua Hin, trained. He trained there for 6 months, and is like traditional Muay Thai.
Yeah, I wouldn't last a day. It's
2 times a day, you know. But you know, he's 26 years old, and for him, it was life changing because of the, you know, just the high level, because of the discipline, because he never traveled before, so he's just going out to Thailand, and it was amazing. But yeah, that would be my number one skill. What's yours? What's your least?
Oh, all of it. No, I got a problem turning my kicks over and checking kicks. Yeah,
the hips.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm a good striker. I like to think so anyway, up top. But I have an issue if I'm fighting anybody who can really kick. They can take me out pretty quick because I miss a lot of leg checks. And if they're lacing me, dude, I mean, well, you know that. I mean, you start getting kicked enough, they add up fast. So I would say check kicks and on the offensive side, also turning those kicks over.
So how long have you been training for, though?
So I do Muay Thai and striking twice a week. And then I'm more on the MMA side, but and then I do like wrestling and jiu-jitsu once or twice a week. And I've been doing that since February or March.
Oh, okay. Oh, you got a lot. Okay. Yeah. Lots of time.
No, I know. I'm very, very green. It's not a new thing and stuff like that, but it's kind of my passion right now. I always find something to get involved in that like hurts. For some reason, I just love doing stuff that hurts. So, just a few months, but it's been a very eye-opening experience.
Well, definitely go to Bang Tao in Thailand.
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah,
I'm serious.
It's far away, but yes, I.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, when you have a, you know, when you can put time aside for yourself to go take some time away from the business, definitely go there because the training's great. Bang Tao is amazing. It's like a lot of UFC fighters go there. It's in a place I know all the guys that are there too. So hit me up before you go there because I'll make sure that okay, they take care okay. of you. But they've got jiu-jitsu. They have wrestling. I mean, the Hickman brothers are tops in wrestling. And then they've got obviously Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu with Alex. So they have everything there in this beautiful place in Phuket, but it's in the northern part of Phuket. And I haven't even been there yet because I used to go to Tiger Muay Thai down at Fitness Street. There's a street.
That's where my trainer, I got a coach who does all this stuff for me. I think that's where he went and he was all excited. He's an actual, you know, pro fighter. He fights this weekend actually. But but yeah, I think the Tiger thing sounds very familiar and all his gear and stuff. So yeah, I get that. Yeah. I think that sounds very familiar.
Yeah. So definitely do it. It's again, it's a different experience and the level, your level of,
I can't even imagine.
It will go up. Like I went my very first time, I've been there 10 years, right? So my very first year when I first started, I was 40 years old is when I first got back into Muay Thai because I was a professional athlete. I did Muay Thai when I was younger, but as an athlete, you can't do both. So at 40 or 39, I re-picked it back up, went to Thailand. And before I left, I was green. Like it was, you know, I was just like, oh, you're going to go to Thailand? Oh, good luck. You know, you got to run 5K before you train. And like everyone's telling me all this shit, right? So I'm training just to train. When I got back, they were like, oh my God, what happened to you? How'd you get so good? It's like, well, I trained twice a day, 2-3 hours. And that's all I did. I just trained twice a day, every day. Like that's
just training.
What else are you going to do? Right. Train, eat, sleep, train, eat, sleep. It wasn't until like the last week of my trip is when I went out. But
what do you think it is? Cause you said something that's very similar to myself. What do you think it is about maybe being in your late 30s or early 40s that you kind of need to pick up some sort of painful or kind of life testing hobby? I know a lot of guys go out and buy sports cars they can't afford or whatever, and then certain guys, you know, pick up getting punched in the face. What do you think is kind of that something happens like in your head, like I know it's way off topic, but it's always very interesting to know, like, what do you think that is that kind of triggers in somebody and they're 40 years old and they're like, man, I'm gonna go get kicked for fun and I'm gonna pay for it?
Well, so there's a couple of things. So for somebody, it could be purpose. They need a new purpose. Because men, as we get older, we lose purpose. Specifically as we get older, which is why most guys in their 50s and 60s will buy something and kind of like maybe if they just got divorced, they'll go back to their younger girl. Because the kids leave the roost, right? So now you're not taking care of the kids. Your wife may have left you or may be a little bit, you know, there may not be seeing eye to eye. So now that's gone. And then you're getting closer. I mean, now the age of retirement is much, much older. But back in the day, you know, Freedom 55 was 55 and you're gone. They're kicking you out of they're kicking you out and giving you your pension or whatever it is. And then now what do you do, right? So it made sense at 55 and 60, you've seen all these guys in the sports car because there's no purpose anymore. There's no one around. There's nothing for them to do. Now, for me, because I was an athlete before and I retired, I missed that. I missed the learning. I missed pushing myself. I missed being uncomfortable. Like, that's, I think those type of people who pick that stuff up like that uncomfortableness, like to test themselves, like that challenge, right? Because it's not for everybody. And then there's other people who may not think they like it, but then once, Muay Thai is a funny thing because I used to do retreats. Right. So I used to do retreats in Thailand. And one of the things that we would do is Muay Thai would be one of the days, a fitness retreat. Right. And these guys, so you see guys have never picked up gloves at all, ever. And then they start hitting gloves. And for the rest of the retreat, they always have a private because we're men. Right. There's that instinct of like that primal instinct. And it just reinvigorates that inside. I think that's what it is. And then they're just like, man, I can actually do this. It's hard. It's tough. But I like it. And I think it's just sparking that primal instinct to hunt, gather, suffer, you know, all of that.
Listen,
stuff.
I am a big suffer guy. I'm a big mortification guy. So I completely understand and get it. Yeah. I was just curious on your take. I think it's very cool and yet very, you know, interesting and weird in a good way of kind of how that spark or click happens in a man's head.
Yeah, and I think for you, definitely, as you continue to get older, you're going to continue to find things to challenge yourself.
100%.
I can see it now. Like, I'm always trying to challenge. I'm okay. What's next? Okay, I'm going to Harvard now. Like, that's another challenge. Like, what are you 54 years old? Why are you doing that? It's a challenge. It's like, yeah, but you have three businesses. How are you going to go to class? How are you going to do this? It's like, I'll get it done. Like, it'll happen. Like, that's, you know, and I'll have to suffer. I'll have to work long days, and on a Tuesday I have to sit through a 3-hour, you know, class on Zoom, and just, you know, but that's part of it, man. Because in the end, the gratification afterwards is, you can't even describe the feeling of that
accomplishment.
Right? Like, you know, yeah, it's insane.
I hear you.
It's incredible. I love it. I love it. Thank you, my man. Thank you. All right. Anyways, that's it. We will see you in the next podcast. If you guys like that, again, hit Dustin up at the
follow us on the Instagram. I was waiting to jump in there. I got caught you way off guard, man. No, but that's where we live. That's where we breathe. It kind of happened on its own. But if you want to see all the stuff we're talking about and real guys with, you know, getting real results and what their stories are, we love highlighting those. So, you know, go in there, jump in the comments, ask them. It's very interesting to find that we don't actually have to do much work other than create the content, because our own audience is so supportive, and guys that use the product, I mean, they jump in and answer the questions for us. I mean, it's wild. It really is. It's the coolest thing I've ever built. That's 100% for sure. And, it's really not me. It's built on the guys that use and love our products. I'm just really lucky to have it so easy for me. So join us there. It's BioProtein Tech. You can find us there at BioProtein Tech. Website is exactly the same. BioProteinTech.com. BioProtein Tech.com. Never done that before. No, I'm kidding. that's what's up. We'd love to have you guys and join the team.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll be there. So thanks so much for being on the podcast, and we'll talk to you soon.